Welcome to the Old Time Radio Corner. I'm Dan Hughes. The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show was on the air from 1946 to 1954. Phil Harris was the band leader on the Jack Benny program, and his heavy-drinking, happy-go-lucky character was so popular that he was given his own show. Phil Harris and Alice Faye played themselves. Phil was a band leader who lived off his wife Alice's money. Alice was a movie star. They had two young daughters, Alice Jr. and Phyllis, both played by adults using children's voices. The show generally followed the same outline. It opened with Phil, Alice, the girls, and Alice's wimpy brother Willie talking. Then Phil's always scheming guitar player Frankie Remley would show up, and things would start going crazy. Later in the show, a teenaged grocery delivery boy named Julius Abruzzio would appear, making snide remarks about Phil and Frankie and mooning over Alice. Sometime during the show, either Phil or Alice would sing a song. Sometimes they both sang. The songs had nothing to do with the plot, but that didn't seem to matter. Frank Remley was played by Elliot Lewis, a versatile radio genius who also wrote, directed, and acted in several other shows, both serious and funny. Julius was played by Walter Tetley, an adult with a medical condition that made him sound like a teenager all his life. Since the show was a spinoff of the Jack Benny program, many of Jack's sidemen often appeared, and sometimes Jack himself was on the program. In the early 1950s, the writers were changed, and the new episodes were not as good as the old ones. Then the real Frank Remley insisted his name no longer be used on the show, so the Remley character took on the name of the actor, Elliot Lewis, which was not nearly as funny as Frankie Remley. But for its first 5 years, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show was one of the funniest programs on radio. This episode, Remley Wants to Borrow Phil's Family, aired on December 5, 1948. And now, the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show.
Good health to all from Rexall. Yes, it's Sunday, time for the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, presented by the makers of Rexall drug products and your Rexall family druggist. Good health to all from Rexall. And now your Rexall family druggist brings you the Phil Harris Alice Faye Show, written by Ray Singer and Dick Chevrolet, with Mary Boland, Elliot Lewis, Walter Tetley, Walter Scharf and his music, and starring Alice Faye and Phil Harris. Today, as we look in on the Harris home, Alice is reading, William is telling the children a story, and Phil has just finished talking on the telephone.
Who was that on the phone, Phil?
Oh, it was Frankie. He's coming over to see us about something. He wants us to do him a favor.
Frankie wants another favor from us?
Uh-oh. Come on, Alice, let's hide our piggy bank.
I'll hide my money purse.
I'll hide my annuity.
And I'll hide the silverware so he can't... Oh, stop! What's the matter with you guys? What makes you think he's coming over to borrow money?
Well, Philip, he's borrowed from all of us. I've kept track of every penny he owes us, and so far it amounts to $803.22.
Well, he put the bite on me for $500 of that.
And he got to me for $300.
He kept Phyllis and me for a quick $3.
Well, that's only $803. Who loaned him the $22? Willie! Well, you went overboard, didn't you, kid? Gee whiz, you just let it fly like that. Sir, just reckless, aren't you? Let me ask you something. You loaned them all of 22 cents?
Well, he got me in a moment of weakness. I'm afraid I'll never see my 22 cents again.
Why don't you hire Jerry Giesler and sue him?
Be ridiculous. You don't hire a lawyer for a comparatively small sum like that. Besides, my collection agency is taking care of it.
I didn't know Frankie had borrowed money from the children. Why did you girls lend him $3?
We couldn't turn him down, Mommy. He told us it was for a very worthy cause.
What worthy cause?
His grandfather needed a major operation.
A major operation for $3? Did Uncle Frankie tell you what they operated on his grandfather for?
They removed a brass rail that was pressing against the bottom of his foot.
Now,
Now, look, Phil, I won't stand for Frankie coming over and borrowing money from the children.
I keep telling you, he don't want money this time. He just wants us to do him a favor.
I wonder what kind of a wild scheme he has now. He comes up with the strangest request.
Oh, he does not. He never asks any... Now, that must be Frankie now. I wish they'd quit picking on Remley. Pretty level-headed guy. I'll say one thing for him. When he asks for something, it makes sense. Oh, hiya, Frankie.
Curly, can I rent your wife and two kids for 4 hours?
Can you rent my wife and... He must be on one of them send-send gags.
Oh, look, Curly, I'm in a spot and I gotta have a family quick. If you just lend me Alice and the kids, I'll pay you well.
Frankie.
Hmm?
Franklin.
What's the matter?
What a horrible request. You want me to rent Alice and my children for money? You don't go around selling members of your family. It's unheard of, and I say, would you be interested in Willie at a bargain rate?
Curly, please, all I want is Alice and the children. Now, do I get them or don't I? Answer yes or no.
Remley, before I answer that, I'd like to ask one question.
Go ahead.
Why do you want to borrow my wife and children?
Well, you got a lot of nerve prying into my affair.
You're not going to tell me? Then I won't even listen to you.
All right, I'll tell you. My Aunt Harriet is flying in from Honolulu today, and I got to make an impression on her, or I'll never inherit all that dough she's got.
Wait a minute now.
Hmm?
Ain't that the aunt who disowned you when she found out you were a musician? She thought you were wild and irresistible? Or ir-sump-responsible?
Absolutely. But a friend of mine who didn't want to see me lose the inheritance wrote to her and told her that I'd settled down, changed jobs, got married, and had a few children.
Remley.
Hmm?
Your friend never should have written a pack of lies like that just so you could inherit the money. That's a terrible thing to do.
I know. I hated myself after I wrote that letter. Now, Curly, can I have Alice and the kids as my family? Auntie's just stopping over for 4 hours.
I won't lend my family for any unhanded thing like that.
But, Curly, I'm not doing this entirely for myself. You see, Aunt Harriet said if she didn't leave her money to me, she'd leave it all to help bring back Prohibition.
Remley, I'm not lending Alice and the children to... Will 4 hours be long enough?
I knew you'd see it my way. My having a family will make Auntie very happy. Come on, let's go in and tell Alice.
Okay, but look, Remley.
What?
If you want Alice to consent to this, you'd better not mention anything about being after your aunt's money.
But I'm not after her money. I'm merely thinking of Auntie's happiness. The money is only of primary importance. So you see, Alice, that's why I told Aunt Harriet I had a wife and children. It's been her dream to see me happily married. Will you and the kids do it for her sake?
You want to make an old lady happy, don't you, honey?
Well, fellas, you're putting me in a spot. I don't think Frankie should have deluded his aunt like that, but, well, as long as he did, I'll do what I can to help.
Thanks, Alice. Now, look, you better brief the kids. We haven't got too much time. Addie's plane is due in a couple of hours.
Well, do we have to go to the airport to meet her?
No, she said she'd come directly to the house. After I told her about my sumptuous home, she's anxious to see it.
Your sumptuous home? That room you live in is so small it only has 2 walls.
Well, I'll admit it's not much, but it's all I have. Where else could I tell her to come?
Say, Frankie, I've got an idea.
Hmm?
Why don't you send a radiogram to your aunt's plane and tell her you've moved? Give her this address and tell her this is your home.
Alice, that's a wonderful idea. Sending her a radiogram telling her I live here. How'd you ever think of that?
Oh, it's nothing, Frankie, nothing. But wait a minute. You think she'll get the radiogram in time?
Yeah, she ought to. I sent it to her last night.
You certainly think of everything, don't you, kid?
Yeah. Always on my toes.
Yeah.
I still don't think I should do this, but as long as I promised, I'd better go tell the children I have a new husband.
Yeah, you won't regret this, Alice. I'll make a very good husband. I'll be considerate and tender, and who knows, you might learn to love me, for as the years go by...
Wait! What years? Listen, this is a 4-hour time limit on this loan out with no options.
Well, is everybody all set to greet Aunt Harriet? She should be here any minute now.
I'm all ready, and I've briefed the children.
Good. Kids, you sure you know what to do?
Yes, Papa.
Papa? Who told you to call me that?
I did. I ain't gonna let them call you Daddy.
Oh, Curly, you're still here, huh? Might be hard to explain you to Auntie. Maybe you better run along. Get a room with the Y or something.
I'm staying right here.
But, Curly, if Aunt Harriet asks who you are, what am I going to tell her?
We could tell her he's my father.
Yeah, that ought to work. He looks old enough to
cut it out! I just tell her I'm your friend. Tell her we play in the same band together.
Curly, I told you she hates musicians. She thinks I have a little business of my own.
Business? What business did you tell her you were in?
I told her I had a small store. Sort of a... Oh, that must be Auntie now. Come on, we'll all go to the door together. I want her to see my whole family at once. I wonder if Auntie will recognize me. She hasn't seen me since I was 2 years old.
In that case, you better let me open the door.
Huh?
The shock of seeing you growing up might be too much for that old girl.
Yeah.
Now just stand back and I'll let her in. Well, welcome, Aunt Harriet.
My nephew, you're even better looking than I pictured you.
But wait, I...
Oh, you've grown up to be a handsome, curly-headed rascal, haven't you?
But I'm not... Yeah, I guess I have at that.
Now, aren't you going to kiss your auntie, Curly?
Now, wait a minute, lady. Look, I'm trying to tell you that I'm not your nephew.
Well, if you're not my nephew, who is?
I am.
Oh.
What do you mean, oh? You're not disappointed, are you?
Oh, well, I got used to olives. I guess I can get used to anything. So you're my nephew, little Francis.
Francis. Well, bless your little heart, Francie.
Gee, Aunt Harriet, why'd you have to tell him that?
So his name is Francis, huh?
Yes, Francis Waldo Remley.
Waldo. This gets worse as it goes along. Francis Waldo Remley. That sounds almost as bad as Spangler Arlington Brew.
Francis, you're being rude. You haven't introduced me to your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aunt Harriet, this is my wife, Alice.
How do you do, my dear?
Oh, hello, Aunt Harriet. I'm very happy to know you.
Why, you're very attractive, Alice. How come a pretty girl like you married Francis?
Well, there was a shortage during the war, and I had to take what I could get.
Thanks a lot, dear. Don't stand in the doorway, Aunt Harriet. Come on in. Auntie, I'd like you to meet my children. This is Phyllis, and this is little Alice.
Oh, what adorable darlings. How are you children?
We're fine, thank you. We're all right, but Aunt Harriet...
Yes, child?
What time do you explode?
What makes you think I'm going to explode?
Papa said you were loaded.
Francis, what does that mean?
The children got it wrong. You know how kids are, they got the word mixed up.
Oh.
I didn't say loaded, I said bloated. Yeah. Oh, loaded. No.
Have one more go at it, Waldo.
Girls, you'd better run upstairs and take your nap now.
Okay, Mommy. Goodbye, Aunt Harriet.
Goodbye, you little darlings. Oh, they're adorable, Francis.
Take after me.
By the way, Francis, you haven't introduced me to this charming young man.
Oh, this is a friend of mine, Phil Harris.
Oh, this is the man that you wrote me about.
Oh, he told you about me, huh?
Oh, yes. He said you're the man who does a radio program for the company he owns.
The company he owns?
Yes. You work for the Remley Drug Company, don't you?
The Remley Drug Company?
Yes, you know, I think his slogan is so clever. You can depend on any product that bears the name Remley.
No, that's Rexall.
Rexall?
I changed the name, Auntie. It was too ostentatious having my name on all the stores. You know how modest I am.
Yes, you were always unassuming, even as a child.
Yes. Say, Andy, did Waldo tell you about his 10,000 independent druggists?
Yes, but you have the figures wrong, Mr. Harris. It's not 10,000, it's 400,000. Isn't it, Francis?
Well, it was, but I couldn't give all those druggists my personal attention, so I sold a few hundred thousand.
Oh, well, you still make 50,000 drug products, don't you, Francis?
Wait a minute now, there are only 2,000 Rexall drug products.
Curly's right, Auntie. I had to cut them down. I couldn't find enough diseases to go around.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you successful and married such a charming, beautiful girl.
Ah, shucks, Aunt Harriet.
Do you know, my dear, I have a feeling I've seen you someplace before. Have you ever been in the movies?
Well, I was in pictures.
She played a couple of mob scenes. It never amounted to much. You couldn't have seen her.
What type of picture were you in, dear? What did you do?
Well, I was a singer.
Yeah, she used to sing in animated cartoons for Walt Disney. Oh. She was the voice of Clara Cluck. Weren't you, dear?
Oh, how clever. Would you do me a favor? Would you mind singing something for me, Clara? Alice?
Well, I'd like to, but I'm not prepared. I haven't had my feed yet.
Honey, if Auntie wants you to sing, sing.
Frankie, I can't sing like that. I'm no chicken.
Never mind your age. Now, look, you go ahead and sing for Auntie like a good little Plymouth Rock.
Oh, all right. One of these days, you fellas are going to get me Irish up and bring out the Clancy in me. Now, Clancy was a peaceful man, if you know what I mean. The cops picked up the pieces after Clancy left the scene. He never looked for trouble, that's a fact you can assume. But nevertheless, when trouble would press, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom. Now, O'Leary was a fighting man. They all knew he was tough. He strutted round the neighborhood, a-shooting off his guff. He picked a fight with Clancy, then and there he sealed his doom. Before you could shout, O'Leary, look out! Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy! Oh, that Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, boom, boom. Now Mulrooney walked into the bar and ordered up a round. He left his drink to telephone and Clancy drank it down. Mulrooney said, who drugged me drink? I'll lay him in his tomb. Before you could pat the top of your hat, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, the Clancy! Oh, the Clancy! Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom. Now the neighbors all turned out for Care to Gray this wedding night. McDougal said, let's have some fun, I think we'll start a fight. He wrecked the hall and kissed the bride and pulverized the groom. Then quick as a wink, before you could think, Clancy lowered the boom. Oh, that Clancy, oh, that Clancy. Whenever they got his Irish up, Clancy lowered the boom, 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 boom. Clancy lowered the boom in the back of his hand.
Was wonderful, my dear. Francis, I think you should reward Alice with a kiss.
A kiss? Oh, Auntie, Francis is very bashful, you see. He doesn't like to kiss Alice in front of me. Do you, Francis?
Oh, I don't mind. Pluck her up, honey. I'll
cut! Auntie, it's getting late now. I better drive you to the airport so you don't miss your plane.
Oh, I couldn't think of leaving until I see my grandnephew. Francis, what time does your son come home from school?
Well, he won't be home until... Son? Did I write to you about my son?
Why... Why, of course. Don't you remember? Why, you told me all about little Clyde.
Clyde?
Of course. Why, surely you haven't forgotten your little boy, Clyde. Clyde Crail Remley?
Oh, Clyde. Of course, little C.C.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him around today. Alice, have you seen Clyde lately?
No, I haven't. Phil, didn't you take him out for a walk last night?
Yeah, but he couldn't have gotten away. I had the leash on him.
Leash?
Oh, well, don't pay any attention to Curly. He's always kidding. Somebody once told him he's a comedian. Clyde is away at school. He won't be home until the Christmas vacation.
I just can't leave until I've seen him. I know. I'll cancel my plans and stay over with you and Alice.
You're going to stay here?
Till Christmas?
Oh, Remley, you're really stuck. That old lady's going to stay with you and Alice. She can't do that. Now, wait a minute, Andy. You've just got to leave here now. Please, you...
Sorry, Mr. Harris. I am determined to see my grandnephew. I'm staying until Clyde gets home.
But I tell you, Remley, may I see you outside alone, please?
Yeah, sure, Curly. Excuse me, Andy. I'll be right back. Is something bothering you, Curly?
Look, Francie, You got to get your aunt out of here.
Oh, please, Curly, give me a little more time. All I got to do is get some kid to pose as my son, and she'll leave happy.
Sure, yeah,
sure.
Frankie,
what?
Where are you going to get a kid to pose as your son? We can't find any kid who'd be willing to come in here.
Mr. Harris, I'm bringing the groceries.
Well, little Clyde has come home.
My son, my son.
About.
Stop yapping and climb upon my knees, sonny boy.
Stop dragging me up on your lap or I'll kick you right in the shins.
Shame on you, Clyde. Talking to your poor old father like that.
Don't tell me how to talk to... What was that last crack?
Now, Julius, I have news for you. I'm going to become your father.
Oh, Mother, how could you do this to me?
No, look, kid, I'm not actually going to be your father. I just want you to pretend you're my son for a few hours. Miss Fay will be your mother, and if you do it, it'll make my old aunt happy.
Let me get this straight. Miss Fay's going to be my mother, you're going to be my father, and your old aunt's going to be happy?
That's right. Would you do it, kid? What do you say?
Hit the road!
Julius, let me put it this way. Would you be my little boy for, say, $10?
For $10, I'd be Sparkle Plenty. When do I stop?
Right now. Here's your $10. I'll go tell Auntie that I called the school and they're letting you come home. Curly, I'll warn Alice. You tell Julius what to do.
Okay. Now, look, Julius. I got to make sure we get rid of Aunt Harriet. And you're the one that can do it. Now, listen to me, kid. If I were to slip you another $10, could you be nasty to Auntie?
It's possible. Of course, for $20, I could be obnoxious. And for $25, I could be positively revolting.
Here's $30. Just be your natural self. Now, listen closely, kid. Here's the setup. You're supposed to be 9 years old, and you've been away to school. And when you come in, I want you to...
Francis, what time do you expect little Clyde home?
Curly went to pick him up. They should be here any minute now. We're all ready and waiting for little Clyde. Right on cue. Come in.
Well, I got him, Frankie. Here he is. Little Clyde.
Oh, isn't he cute? Such an adorable youngster. But, isn't he rather tall for a 9-year-old?
Yes, he's big for his age.
Oh, Clyde, I'm so glad to see you. Well, aren't you going to greet me? Come, dear. Say something to your old auntie.
Goo.
He's 9, and all he says is goo.
He's stupid for his age, too.
Well, don't don't stand there, Clyde. Come over here and give your auntie a great big kiss.
I don't want to.
Oh, I forgot. Of course, you just came home. Go over and kiss your father first.
I don't want to.
Well, then, go over and kiss your mother.
Now you're talking. Come right over.
Stand back. Take one step and I'll break your little leg.
Yes. Mr. Harris, don't you dare talk that sweet little child that way. Come here, Clyde. Sit on my lap. Upsy daisy. Upsy daisy.
Stop bouncing me on those bony knees.
He has a sense of humor, Francis. He's just like you when you were a child. He resembles you in many ways. He doesn't look at all like Alice.
Thank you, Aunt Harriet.
No, he's the image of his father. He looks just like you, Francis.
If she wasn't an old lady, I'd punch her right in the nose.
Now, Clyde, that's no way to talk to your aunt. You apologize this minute.
Nonsense, Alice. The boy has spirit, and I like him for it. He's a real Remley.
Can't she say anything without insulting me?
I'm glad you like Clyde, because when you leave me your money, it will eventually go to Clyde.
Oh, why eventually, Francis? You know, I've been thinking, with all the money you make in your drugstores, you won't need any of mine. So I'm going to change my will and leave everything to little Clyde.
But, Aunt Harriet, you can't do that.
I made up my mind, Francis. Well, I'd better get going or I miss my plane.
But supposing something goes wrong and I lose all my drugstores, where will I get money?
Well, in that case, you'll just have to wait until Clyde blows up.
Blows up?
Yes. He's the one who's loaded now.
She's leaving all her dough to me.
Now, look here, Julius.
Temper, Waldo.
Listen, Julius, you little so-and-so. I'll break every bone.
Don't you dare touch my wealthy little body.
But that dough belongs to me. I'm supposed to get it.
Don't worry. I'll take care of you, Pops.
You will, kid?
Sure. After I die, I'll leave what's left to you.
Well, I'm older. I'll die before you do. You'll outlive me and... Outlive me?
Remley, get away from my gun case. Folks, this is Phil Harris again. Tonight I'm leaving on the lark for Eugene, Oregon, to be master of ceremonies at a banquet in honor of Coach Jim Aiken and that great University of Oregon football team. The entire West is proud of them, and it'll be a big thrill to give them a real send-off for their New Year's Day date at the Cotton Bowl with SMU. Also, congratulations to the University of California at Berkeley and Northwestern.
Phil, don't you ever get anything right.
Look, I don't want to brag, sister, but last week I was the first one in the country to congratulate USC.
This is Bill Foreman wishing good health to all from Rexall. Sunday is fun day on NBC. Stay tuned to this station for the Edgar Bergen Charlie McCarthy Show, which follows immediately.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
From December 5, 1948, The Phil Harris, Alice Faye Show. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you'd just like to talk about this program, please drop me an email at dan@radiofun.info. That's Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun, all one word, .info, I-N-F-O. Until next time, from the Old Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.